From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. A new HBO film explores a provocative question. Imagine that you worked at a dangerous job, say a nuclear processing plant, where there's a terrifying accident.
Help me. Please, open the door.
Now imagine that you were exposed to so much radiation that you will die in a matter of days. Your employer refuses to compensate your family. In fact, the facility plans to stick you with the blame. What do you do? Go home and die quietly? Or seek revenge and cash for your family by stealing weapons-grade plutonium to sell on the black market? Filmmaker Scott Z. Burns explores that dark quandary in a new film called PU-239. It's named for the isotope of plutonium used to make nuclear weapons. Burns was a producer for the Oscar-winning Inconvenient Truth. He also wrote The Bourne Ultimatum. The latest film is set in post-Soviet Russia. Burns says he's long been fascinated with that part of the world.
Having grown up in Minnesota, I sort of grew up in a time where, you know, there were air raid sirens on the first Wednesday of every month, and I had a taut fear of the Soviet Union as this place that one day might bomb us. And so I was always concerned about nuclear arsenals, and I wondered about what happened to the Soviets after the fall of the Soviet Union.
Now, you're writing based on a short story. It's by Ken Kalfas, who's an American writer who lived in Moscow for a period during the 1990s. He writes fiction, but some say it's actually almost a kind of informed fiction because he does so much research for his work. What kind of research did you do?
Well, Ken and I went to Moscow and met a woman whose grandfather had actually developed the bomb for Stalin, a woman named Musia, and Musia took Ken and I to all sorts of interesting places, and we met Russian businessmen who are, you know, it's what they call their gangsters. I spent a little time in Moscow and visited a number of nuclear facilities and spoke to a number of physicists about how the things that happened in the movie could happen.
You said you visited a number of nuclear facilities. That's something that's pretty hard to do here in the U.S. How were you able to make that happen?
When we went to there's a reactor in Moscow. My friend Musia, as we drove up to the gate, said, just tell them you're with the BBC and that, you know, you're just interested in learning more about Russian nuclear history. And I said, but I'm really not with the BBC, and I don't have a British passport. And somehow, through her doing a lot of fast talking in Russian, they took me for a tour. And then at one point, we were going to shoot in Prague, and I went for a tour of a nuclear facility in Prague that people thought we might be able to film inside of. And then I reminded them that it was, you know, a movie and that it was make-believe, and we actually didn't need to be in a nuclear reactor to shoot the movie.
Now, this is the story of one man at one nuclear facility, and it is said to be fiction, but there are, as I understand, a number of these nuclear research facilities and these nuclear plants and these reactors all throughout the former Soviet Union. Was this based on an actual incident?
There were a lot of cities that the Soviets had that weren't on the map, that were sort of centers for research. Ours was kind of based on a place called Arzamas 16. And then the accident that happens in the facility was what was described to me by a physicist as a criticality, where too much nuclear material gets too close to each other and starts interacting in an uncontrolled way and can generate a very intense explosion.
So it's had the potential to be a Chernobyl-type incident if this character had not moved quickly.
Yes, exactly.
Now, the film raises all kinds of questions. You know, could this really happen? And I'm curious about that, not just the accident at the nuclear facility, but the possibility that someone could get their hands on weapons-grade plutonium and then basically walk through the streets with it strapped to their body trying to sell it to the highest bidder.
What we do know is the IAEA says there's been something like 195 incidents of nuclear trafficking since the early 90s, and a large portion of that is material that was in the former Soviet Union. Not all of that is weapons-grade plutonium, although there have been a few incidents of weapons-grade plutonium turning up. The thing that I think is terrifying about that number is the 195 are the ones that, you know, were interdicted and that we know about. The ones that we don't know about, you know, are still out there.
I can't be around my son for more than a few hours without risking every cell in his body. My My saliva could kill my wife in another 10 years.
You know, Scott, in this case, the man who's walking around Moscow with this weapons-grade plutonium strapped to his chest is a very sympathetic character. He just wants to get this money so he can take care of his family. But he's actually trying to sell the material to make a nuclear weapon, a weapon that would kill thousands, maybe even millions of people, maybe even the members of his own family that he's trying to protect. What are you trying to say there about terrorism and terrorists?
I guess what I hope comes through a little bit in the movie is that Timofey, the character in the movie who's played by Patty Considine, becomes sympathetic because some of his values are values that we share. And so you're looking at a man who loves his wife and loves his child and is trapped in a system that's falling apart and is pushed to do an outrageous and criminal and terrorist act. That might be an important thing for some of us to think about when, you know, when we're trying to understand why people commit acts of terrorism in the world.
Now, Scott, we should not leave the listener with the impression that this movie is completely dark and heavy and dense. There are also incredible moments of humor in this film, and much of it comes from Shiv and his gang of thugs, as you call them, businessmen, who are like the gang that could not shoot straight.
No, what does this mean, personal problem?
That we have to find $6,000 in 72 hours.
Is it 72 hours before the time of the call or from the time of the fire? This is vague in my mind.
Did that come from the book, or did you sort of pump up the humor because you needed that to leaven a very dark story?
Definitely to leaven a very dark story, and also I think, you know, because it was my first screenplay, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to mix tones. And a lot of the movies that I really enjoyed growing up always managed to mix, you know, a certain amount of levity in. And that's also sort of inherent in the Russian character. You know, there is something that's always grimly funny, you know, when you go to Moscow or St. Petersburg and walk around.
Scott, thanks for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Scott C. Burns is the director and writer of the film PU-239. The film premieres on HBO on Saturday night.